The bell is ringing. It is Monday evening, and 3-year-old Emmy rushes down the steps outside the house, just as she always does at this time of day. Excited, she stands on the last step and waits, scanning. She sees the other men from the workshop as they arrive home, but Emmy's father doesn't come. She waits and waits. Soon, the stream of workers from the workshop has stopped. Still, no daddy. She keeps waiting. Suddenly, one of the neighbors is standing next to her, crouching down and looking her in the eye. "There's no point in standing here and waiting. Daddy isn't coming today."
"Oh," she answers.
"Daddy's never coming home again," the neighbor says, standing up and disappearing into his own apartment. Emmy walks slowly back inside.
What did he mean? Daddy's never coming home again.
In the kitchen, dinner is on the table, but no one has touched it. Mommy is sitting on a chair with her face buried in her apron, her whole body shaking. The older siblings stand around her, silent. The oldest sister strokes her awkwardly on the back. It is the beginning of a new century, the 1900s. Mother Kirsten has no choice but to go to the parish poor relief board and ask for help. Even though the workshop is taking care of their rent and living expenses, things are tough for Mother Kirsten, little Emmy, and the other siblings in their home of one room plus a kitchen. Kirsten doesn't just toil to keep her own household running. She also does sewing for others and helps in the homes of better families to earn a few extra crowns. It becomes a little easier when she is given the responsibility of being ferry guard, a position held by many who had lived in the dockhouse. All of the children help as much as they can. In the summers, they clear turnips, and in the fall, they dig potatoes. Now and then, their neighbor, Carpenter Person, slips them a fresh herring if they run an errand for him. He earns extra by selling fish in the entryway. It does spread a scent that's not exactly pleasant, but it makes existence a little more bearable in other ways. The children go to school at Lancaster School. This is important, but when it comes time for the celebration at the end of the school year, they can't often attend because dressing up is required, and dressy clothes are not a priority when there isn't food on the table. Instead, they get their everyday clothes from charity associations like Friends of the Children, the Mutala Elves Association, and the Poor Relief Board. But once a year, when spring is budding, they're the ones with the front row seats, when the boats are to be put into the water. And around the dry dock, people from the whole town gather to see the ships sink down into the dry stone formation. Then the docks are opened, the water comes rushing in, and soon the newly built ships can float away. It is just as exciting every time, every year. A show for the people to watch, both rich and poor. Soon, the children can help support the household. They find jobs at the workshop as they grow up in the little community that has become a town of its own around Mutala Workshop. It has its own hospital and, over time, a swimming pool, a grocery store, a library, and a school. They participate in various associations and get involved in their community. They live through the emergence of a new society, one in which Emmy, as an adult, gets married and has children. She gets to experience indoor plumbing, the modern water closet, and electric stove, the washing machine too, and having a cabin in the country to escape to. And she can eat her fill every day.